Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen. May God bless this reading to us from his holy word. I suppose I should start off by saying thank you for inviting me along to preach here this evening, but it actually occurs to me that I think I made the age-old mistake of not going to the meeting where everybody else agreed who was going to preach tonight. And I'm learning, having come out of the world of business and into the world of the church, there are some things which aren't very different. Don't go along to a meeting and you end up being the one who comes out with all of the actions. But it is lovely to be here. It's actually the first time I've set foot in Liberton Kirk, and it's great to see so many folk here from so many of the churches, including, for me personally, some old familiar faces. I'll drop the old. It's lovely to see Susan again, who spent a year or more, probably more than that, 2 years, 3 years, good grief, down in Peebles at my home church. Also, in another life, if you like, with another hat on, I'm a scout leader, and it's great to see the district commissioner, who's my boss, David, here tonight. David's normally used to coming along and seeing me shouting at the top of my voice to try and get 20 youngsters to actually listen and do what they're told, so I'm hoping I'm not going to have that problem this evening. And just want to mention seeing Chris Boyle. Chris and I worked together many years ago at Aegon out at the Gyle, and it must be at least 12 or 13 years since we've seen each other. And actually, in some ways, that's fortuitous, because I was going to start off with a little story tonight about a time when I was working out at Aegon, obviously before I came into ministry. And I remember one year in the run-up to Christmas, in the team I was working in, the department I was working in, somebody had the idea of doing a daily Christmas quiz. Each day there was a question about a secular or a spiritual aspect of Christmas with a prize. And different days, different questions. And I can still remember one day the question came out, and it was worded like this: "What were the names of the three wise men who visited the baby Jesus in the stable in Bethlehem?" And obviously I wasn't a minister by then, but I remember rubbing my hands with glee and thinking, I'm going to have a theological field day with this question. And I sent an answer back, which I think probably wasn't appreciated too much. And I said, number one, the Bible does not tell us there were only three of them. Number two, they're never actually called wise men. Number three, there isn't actually evidence, well, first of all, that Jesus was born in a stable, let alone that they visited him in a stable, given that Matthew uses the word house. And fourthly, we don't even know necessarily that they came to Bethlehem. It could have been that they actually went to find him in Nazareth, because it could have been months after the actual birth. And the answer that I got back, I was half expecting, yes, you get a special prize for that. The answer I got back was more along the lines of, nobody likes a clever clogs. But of course, it does raise this story about what we know about these wise men, these magi, and I'll use the word which Matthew himself used. And it probably won't surprise you to hear me say that what we don't know about the magi actually far outweighs anything which we do know. And let's start with what we do know. Let's start with that word magi. Now, this is not the same as calling them three kings. We all know the hymn, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." It's not even actually necessarily the same as wise men. And I will get in here that, of course, for all we know, they could have been women as well. Now, we know that they came from the east, but how far from the east? From Iraq? From Arabia? From India? We know they came from the east. We know that they came a long way, but we don't really know any more detail than that. How many of them were there? What kind of people were they? Again, we just don't know. It was actually in the second century when one of the early church fathers called Tertullian suggested that these men must have been kings, because that, of course, would have fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy that kings would come to visit the newborn Messiah. He also concluded at that time that there must have been three of them, of course, based purely on the fact that there were three named gifts which they bought: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And of course, the producers of nativity plays all over the world have caught on, and that is why every December we always have the spectacle of three children dressed in an old pair of curtains carrying a box which has been wrapped in kitchen foil, because our popular culture says there were three of them. I remember, in fact, when I was probably about 7 or 8, being in just such a play at the school where I was at, and I can still remember, I can't remember what part I played, but I remember the three magi walking on, and one of the children who only had one line to say, who'd obviously rehearsed it, walking in and shouting, "We are Maggie from the East." And then it was as late as the 6th century when somebody, and I don't know who, decided that they needed names. And this is where these names came from, which relates back to that question that I asked at the beginning. Melchior, Balthazar, and Caspar. There is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that these were the names of the magi. And so plays and books have been written, and these names have fallen into popular use. But of course, none of us knows what their names were at all. We don't even know that they were described as wise. In the original Bible manuscripts, the word magi is used, and that comes apparently from an old Iranian word, which I may pronounce wrongly, magoi, which was used to describe people, actually, who behaved in rather strange ways. They were captivated by astrology, by spells, by incantations, and they dressed in a very bizarre manner. And I guess at least we've got that right in the nativity plays with the curtains. And the Latin word is magi, from which, of course, we get words like magic and magician. So just to recap, we don't know who they were. We don't know where they came from. We don't even know how many of them there were. Why not? Why doesn't Matthew give us this information? Well, my experience of reading the Bible and studying it is that we are always given the information that we need, and anything else, such as their names, such as where exactly they came from, really is superfluous. And actually, the fact that we don't know a huge amount about them means that what we do is to concentrate even more on the things that we do actually know. And what we know, first of all, is that they came into the Christmas story as outsiders. Yes, we could argue the shepherds were outsiders in that they had no direct connection to Mary and to Joseph. But then again, the shepherds were Jews, part of God's chosen people. They had a vested interest in the coming of the Messiah. But the Magi, what was in it for them? Why travel so far? And no matter how far they came, it will have been a long journey. It will have been a dangerous journey. They had almost certainly never in their lives ever heard the word Messiah before. So why make that journey? And this is where we can focus on what we do know about the Magi. Because despite everything that we don't know, we do have one key piece of information which is probably more important than any other. And we know this because the Magi themselves tell us in verse 2, "We have come to worship him." And as we look at what Matthew tells us about these men, we see, even from the comparatively little information that we are offered, that they really were, yes, indeed, wise men. Because these magi, by leaving their homes, by following the star, showed a wisdom which we would do well to learn from. And I think there are three lessons for us to take from the journey of the magi. And the first lesson, if we can have it on the screen, is that they came to seek the baby Jesus. They were seekers, just as wise men and wise women should continue to seek him to this day. As I say, we don't know exactly how far they travelled, but it's likely that it was maybe around 500 to 1,000 miles. Imagine travelling that far on the back of a camel. I don't know if any of you have ever been on a camel. I have once, many years ago when I was in the Middle East. And it wasn't the most comfortable journey in the world, especially the getting on and off. And it would have been a long and difficult and probably very dangerous journey as well. And they almost certainly wouldn't have travelled alone. Let's say, for the sake of argument, there were three of them. These men would have been influential and rich men. They would have had a caravan of anything up to maybe 100 servants accompanying them. So we need to give these men some credit. They really wanted to come and seek Jesus. They truly were seekers. Now, if we contrast that with what we're told in this passage about the chief priests and the teachers of the law, Matthew tells us that they didn't even travel the 6 miles or so down the road from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to find out what was happening. It was almost as if they knew the right answers, but they did not ask the right questions. They were not seeking the Messiah in the same way as these magi were. Here was God's promise to them, the baby born in a manger in Bethlehem, right under their very noses. And they chose not to seek him. Now, we're not asked to travel hundreds of miles, thank goodness, on the back of a camel. We're not asked, as the magi were, to risk our lives to play cat and mouse with a despotic ruler of the day. Yet how often in our own lives do we take the easy option and choose not to seek him as we should? Too often we are so preoccupied with other things. Think about even the run-up to Christmas, with so much that's going on, that we sometimes choose not to see him. We don't even look for him at times. We need to learn from these magi, from this first lesson, learn the importance of seeking him in our own lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. As I've said, the journey will have taken a long time and will have been planned meticulously. And there was a very interesting program on BBC just the week before Christmas. It's probably still on the iPlayer. And it was a special edition of The Sky at Night, the astronomy program. And it was focusing entirely on the Star of Bethlehem. And it was fantastic because what they concluded very quickly was that there is little or no doubt amongst astronomers that there was truly a star. There is documented evidence from various parts of the world, as far away as China, that a new star appeared in the sky, they reckon around the year 3 BC, which ties in almost exactly with what we know about the birth of Jesus. It's significant, I think it's significant that 21st century astronomers recognize that, something which, of course, Christians already know. So let that be our first lesson from these magi. They came to seek him. And then secondly, they came also to serve him, just as wise men and wise women should still serve him today. We've got the second bullet point. Yeah. Now, the magi had a choice. They stopped in Jerusalem. They told King Herod where they were going and why. And he was enraged. Who is this king? Who is this little boy who dares to challenge me? So he offered the magi a choice. He said to them, instead of coming to serve the new king, he gave them the chance to come back and serve him. Come back and tell me where he is, Herod, and I will go and see him. Serve me, don't serve him. Now, the magi were not stupid men. They must have realized that Herod, being a rich and a powerful man, would undoubtedly reward them for their service. Yet they made a choice. They, who didn't even have the background of the Jewish faith, they made a choice not to serve the rich, the powerful, the famous king, but to serve the baby in the manger. And again, what about us? Whom, or should I say sometimes, what do we serve in our lives? Our ambitions, our careers, our self-gratification? Are there too many times when we, in fact, serve ourselves, when instead, like the Magi, we should be serving him who was born to be king of the Jews? Truly, we really can learn from these Magi. And thirdly, and finally, our third lesson is that they came to worship him, as wise men and wise women still worship him today. These men had come all this way with that one purpose in mind. These were the words that they spoke to Herod. Where is he who is born as king? We have come to worship him. They came to worship the Son of God with confidence. They came with hope. They came with faith. Look at some of the language that they used. Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. They didn't just set out on a ride on the desert thinking, we'll follow this star and see where it leads us. They didn't just show up in Jerusalem and say, we hear that something's happening in this area. What is it? We saw some bright stars and we thought maybe you could tell us what it means. They were definite. They were 100% certain. We have come to worship him. And if we need any more evidence for that, we just need to look at the gifts that they brought. They bought expensive gifts, gifts which were fit for a king. They didn't just go on a journey, find the baby, and then think, right, we need to get a present. Let's find a late night, a 24-hour store, and see what we can pick up, as many of us probably did in the run-up to Christmas. They brought these gifts fit for a king, because they knew that it was a king whom they had come to worship. Do we approach our own lives in that same spirit of worship? Do we prepare ourselves to worship him as the Magi did? Or can we be more casual in our approach, treating worship as a one day, maybe even a 1 hour in one day event each week? Do we really get the notion of worship 24/7 in our own lives? So will we learn any of these lessons from these Magi? Do we seek him every day? Or are we so busy with what's going on in our lives that we walk past him without even a second glance? Do we serve him every day? Or do we place a higher priority on our own ambitions, our own material wealth, our short-term goals, our personal popularity? And do we worship him every day, not just in church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, but with every fiber of our being, in everything which we do, in our family lives, in our work lives? Yes, these Magi may well have been outsiders, but they were truly wise men. They recognized Jesus for who he was, for who he still is today. And they sacrificed and risked everything to seek him, to serve him, and to worship him. Just want to finish with some words which Pope Francis actually spoke in his message on New Year's Day. And in some ways it seems appropriate, because when I was getting dressed before I left home this evening and I put my black shirt on, which I don't wear very often, my wife actually said to me, she said, you look like a Roman Catholic priest. But what Pope Francis said in his address on New Year's Day, I thought was truly wonderful. He asked this: what star have we chosen to follow in our lives? Some will follow the star of success, the star of money, of career, of honors, of worldly pleasures. And then he said this, "These stars may be bright, but ultimately they will lead us nowhere. We may not be magi, but we can follow their example in our lives. We too can be wise men and wise women. We can seek him. We can serve him. We can worship him today and every day." Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this season of Epiphany. We thank you for the lesson of these wise men, these magi. We thank you that they came to seek your Son, Jesus Christ, to serve him and to worship him. And Father, we ask that today and every day we may follow their example. And we ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.